I don't care who you are, how spiritual you may think you are, sometimes our hearts get weary, don't they? Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18, some very, very familiar scripture this morning. I hope it's familiar to you. It's one of my favorite in all the Bible. It's where Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal and prays fire down from heaven. And we've been talking these last couple of days about the fire of God burning in our hearts again. Amen. The Bible said that in the last days that there would be a form of religion denying the power thereof. Might I say to you, I believe we're living in that day when there is a form of religion, but we see very little power anymore. And that fire of God, especially in 1 Kings chapter number 18, surely represents the power of God. I believe we serve a powerful God. But I believe those that are serving Him are very weak in spirit today. Amen? I believe for us to see more of God, we're going to have to pick it up in ourselves a notch or two. Would you agree with me? 1 Kings chapter number 18. I would like to read the whole story, but I'm just going to skip around just a little bit. I want you to look with me at verse number 21, where Elijah addresses the people. The Bible said, "And Elijah came unto all the people," talking about the children of Israel, "and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." We'll talk about that in a minute. We're just going to make a couple of observations from this story this morning and see what God does with it. And we know that after that, that Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. In other words, they were serving a false god. Elijah was serving the true God. And just let me say this, Elijah stood alone. Elijah stood alone. We want to go with the flow and go with the crowd. But Elijah said, what the crowd's doing and what the flow's doing ain't right. I'm just going to stand on what I know to be the truth. Amen? And Elijah said, hey, I'm just going to do what's right. He said, I tell you what, we want to find out whose God is real. We want to find out which God is the capital G God. Let's have us a contest. Amen? He said, get two bullocks or two calves. And he said, let's dress those. Y'all dress your calf and fix it up. Fix the altar. And you see, and you pray, and pray till you get done. And when you get done, I'll pray. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Amen. You know what that crowd said? That crowd said, you're on. You got yourself a deal. Let's do it. The Bible said, from morning till evening, the prophets of Baal did cry. And their God answered them not a word. We know the story. I hope you do. Pick up at verse number, let's see. I want to pick up where Elijah begins to pray. Verse number 36. The Bible said, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Two verses, that's all he prayed. Amen. Then the fire, verse number 38, then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. We'll talk just for a few minutes about the requirements for God's fire. We need to understand what's going on with the children of Israel. They are God's chosen people. Would you agree with that? They have moved into the promised land, that land that flows with milk and honey. They have been brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, a type of the world and the type of sin. They have seen God do miraculous things throughout their history and throughout their lives. Would you agree? Amen. These people are the people on the earth that are supposed to represent Almighty God. But they get into this new world, and there's a group of people there called Canaanites. And these Canaanites have a different type of religion. It's a religion revolved around sensual things and fleshly things. It's a religion... I'm trying to think of a nice word. It's a religion for perverts. It was a religion that involved sexual orgies and all these different kind of perverted things. And they were doing that in the name of their God. And God had delivered these children of Israel out of bondage, just like He brought you out of bondage and just like He brought you out of the world. But they got over here and they got to looking at this crowd and they thought, man, that looks fun right there. So they fell in with that crowd. They fell in with that crowd that's worshiping Baal, the false god. And the first thing I want to note in our scripture this morning, for there to be the fire of God to burn in the hearts of men and women today, there has to be a definite decision. There has to be, Brother Charles, a definite decision. In verse number 21, Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Here's what he said. How long are you going to straddle the fence? If God be God, serve Him. But if Baal be God, serve him. What he said was, children of Israel, make up your mind. He said, it's either on or it's off. It's white or it's black. There's no gray. There's no in the middle. There's no middle ground. You're either for God or you're against God. Amen. Amen. You can't. You see, they enjoyed bearing the title of God's people. They enjoyed that. They enjoyed bearing the title, if you would, Christian. Amen. They enjoyed the privilege of having the little fish symbol on the trunk of their car. They enjoyed the fact of having their names associated with the church and the righteous people of the town. They enjoyed that part of that, but they wanted that other too. Back up in verse number 17, oh Ahab, that wicked king. That wicked king, he looked at Elijah and he said, "Are you him? Are you he that troubleth Israel?" Yeah. You know what he said? "Are you the one stirring up all the garbage around? Are you the one stirring up all the strife around here?" Yeah. Amen. Did you know nowadays any preacher that'll preach the truth, any preacher that'll rear back and preach against sin and preach the word of God without watering it down, without holding it back, he's labeled a troublemaker? Oh, Ahab said, "Man, we're doing fine. Everybody's happy." You know, that's all anybody wants anymore. They just want people happy. We just want you to be happy. Oh, if that feels good, do it. Oh, if you want to sleep with that guy's wife, just go ahead. Just do it in the name of God and it'll be all right. Baloney. Amen. Ahab said, "Man, everything's going along fine. Everybody's getting along. We're all partying. We're all having a good time. Don't come down here and start stirring up trouble." Amen. Maybe we can stir up a little trouble this morning, Brother Freddie. Yeah. Amen. You know where the trouble needs to be? The trouble that needs to be stirred is trouble in our heart, where we get concerned about ourselves and get concerned about our standing and where we are with God and get concerned about our prayer life, get concerned about our Bible reading, get concerned about our soul winning again. Amen. Are you listening to me? He said there has to be a decision. You can't have it both. I don't know a true born-again Christian who would say, "I have no desire for the power of God." I don't know anybody who would honestly say, "I have no desire for the power of God," but our lives show otherwise. Amen. Some of the more liberal churches at the altar call, they have decision cards. Decision cards. So and so, they don't say so and so got saved. They say so and so made a decision. I kind of like the word saved myself. I kind of like that word born again. I like that word redeemed. But there ain't nothing wrong with that word decision. There ought to be some decisions made this morning when we leave here. We ought to make some decisions. I'm talking to saved people now this morning. I'm talking to the church of the living God. I'm talking to the redeemed of the Lord. Somebody ought to leave here this morning and say, hey, Elijah, I'll take God. I'll just stay with God. The heck with Baal and the world and all the junk I've been dabbling with and fooling with. I'm going to do my best to leave it alone and go with God. It's decision time. I want to see the fire burn. I'm telling you, boy, God got right up next to me during some of his preaching this week. Amen. You would think a youth meeting, a youth revival, you expect evangelistic preaching. We didn't get that, Brother Freddie. We didn't get that. You know what evangelism is? That's trying to get people saved. Of course, we wanted to. We wanted to see people saved, and we did see somebody get saved. But you know what? Nobody knew. Brother Lee Pointer, Brother Levi White, and Brother Jonathan Davis, not narrow one of them guys knew what the other was preaching. But God did. The theme of the entire meeting was get right. I said this the other day. You used to hear this term all the time. Did you hear so-and-so rededicated their life to the Lord? Now you see people getting saved over and over and over and over and over. You don't need to get saved again if you're saved. You just need to get right with God. Did you know it's possible to get so far away from God and get so entangled up in the things of the world that you are saved, but you don't feel saved anymore? Amen. I worry about this crowd. Don't know whether or not they're saved from day to day. Amen. I know I'm saved. I know I'm wicked too. But that don't mean I'm not saved. I know when I'm not doing right. And you know when you're not doing right. But I know that I'm a child of God. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind that I know. Amen. Devil will put all kind of thoughts in your head. I had visions last night. I did. I figured out how the charismatic do it, Brother Freddie. I left here dead dog tired, went to Crystal, and my eyes was bigger than my stomach, and I ate 7 of them things. I went to bed last night. I know I had 50 visions last night. All kind of, and you know what people are doing today? They take that as, oh, it was from God. No, it was from Crystal. I told Sister Shelley in one of my dreams, this craziest thing, the wall is just a few, this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but the wall's just a few feet from my bed, and in my dream I woke up and I looked and I could see somebody sitting in a chair against the wall. And I couldn't make it out, and finally, you know how your eyes will focus? And it was Brother Freddie. And he's sitting there and he had his hands on his knees grinning like that. Well, I said, Lord God, I ain't never going to Crystal again in my life. If I do, I'm not going back to sleep. Hey, man, people are following everything in the world. Yeah. Amen. You're right. Oh, it's out there. You'll find it. Yes, you can find the religion that'll suit you. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Amen. Y'all all right? Yes, you can find a religion that'll suit you. Somebody said, I like rock and roll. They're out there. Yeah. I like a concert in church. They're out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't like a preacher that yells and hollers. You ain't liking me much at all, are you? I like these contemporary preachers that don't have a pulpit, especially one that's made out of a stump with deer horns on it. PETA don't hang out around here, folks. You know what that stands for, don't you? People eating tasty animals, amen. I don't like a preacher that gets right in your face and gets in your business and meddles in your life. That ain't me meddling. That's the Word of God and that's the Spirit of God. I like those preachers that don't think it's necessary. They just do away with the pulpit and they get them a little bar stool. They have a good concert for about an hour and then he talks to you for about 10 minutes. And everybody leaves feeling just warm and fuzzy. That's out there. I like to just be able to go and do anything I want and go crawl in the closet and look through a knot hole and tell the knot head on the other end, forgive me for I have sinned. Yeah. Yeah. Say 7 male Hail Marys and go to the house. Hey, that's fine and dandy, but there will not be any fire. Amen. We've got to the place in America where we're manufacturing our own. Somebody said, you can't tell me some of that stuff ain't real. Those people get really stirred up. I went to an AC/DC concert when I was a kid. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Brother Rusty, we had the lighter, the whole 9 yards. Oh, yeah. Do you know that crowd got stirred up?
Do you know that crowd? Listen, y'all listen to me. Do you know that crowd got stirred up? I'm talking about they was teenagers. Some of y'all, I'm going to date my age here. Some of y'all remember old Angus Young? That guy, I mean, for 45 minutes straight, his head rocking up. I mean, that's got to be demonic. Yeah. Whew, I can't do it 2 seconds. And I'm about to pass out right here. Amen. And all across that crowd, man, they'd be... That crowd was stirred up, but it was not of God. Hey, we can get stirred up. We can dance in here, and we can have a good time, but that don't mean it's of God. Amen. We want the fire of God to burn. But if the fire's going to burn, are you listening to me this morning? We're going to have to make a decision in our heart and say, I'm going back with God. I'm turning my back on that other, and I'm staying with the Lord Jesus Christ so the fire of God can burn in my soul again. Amen. Y'all all right this morning? Somebody help me have church this morning. We need this morning. Amen. I need this morning. When I'm pointing my finger at you, there's three more coming right back at me, friend. I want the fire of God to burn. Amen. I want it to burn like it used to when it kept me up at night. Amen. I want it to burn again like it used to when we'd sit in church and just weep over the goodness of God. I want it to burn again like it used to when we get in the altar and pour our hearts out for somebody lost and died and on their way to hell. I want it to burn again where our sins used to convict us and bother us and we really felt genuinely sorry for what we had done. But it's going to take a decision. You know why they answered him not a word? Brother Freddie? They knew he was right. They knew that he was right. They couldn't say nothing. They couldn't say nothing. All of them hadn't seen all the miracles, but they all knew about them. They, everyone knew about them. I guarantee you, every one of them knew about them 12 stones Joshua set up. I guarantee you, they knew about the parting of the Red Sea. I guarantee you, they had heard about the plagues in Egypt. I guarantee you, they heard about Pharaoh's army drowning in that Red Sea that he parted for Israel to cross on. They knew what a God there was in Israel. They knew the right way to go. And I know the right way to go. And you know the right way to go. But knowing the right way and going the right way is two different things. That's hard, ain't it? It's hard. You know, the right thing is usually the hardest thing. Can I say that again? The right thing is usually the hardest thing. I read in a book, I believe it was Dr. Alan Redpath in one of his books. He made this statement. He said, sin always follows the least path of resistance. Can I say that again? Sin always follows the least path of resistance. In other words, water goes downhill, friend. It's going to take the easiest path. When you're trying to decide what's right and what's wrong, see which one's the hardest to do. You probably need to go in that direction. Amen. You say, oh, but living the Christian life is so hard. For the flesh, it is. But for Christ that liveth in me, it's not. But I've got to allow Him to live in me. Even though he's in there and he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never depart you. Sometimes I've got my hands around his throat and I've got him enabled and he can't work and he can't move because I'm not operating in him. I'm operating in the flesh. Amen. That's why the fire of God is not moving. Amen. Amen. We have lost the place in our churches where we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. There's a throne in your heart. And there's one or two people sitting on it. It's either the Lord or it's you. Amen. There must be a decision made. We as a church need to make a decision. As the pastor, I've made some decisions on the direction this church is going. As members, you need to make a decision to get behind it and go that direction. If you want liberalism and contemporary, if you want a different Bible, you're in the wrong place. If you want a place where bus kids who don't know how to act and don't know how to dress, if you want a place where that crowd's not welcome, you're in the wrong place. if getting excited about the things of God bother you and disturb you, you're in the wrong place. We're going to stick with this old time way of worship. So, preacher, times change. I know, but God doesn't. Amen. We're going to have to make some decisions this morning and do our best. I was counseling with a couple the other day, and the husband was struggling with some things. And you know what he said? He said, preacher, I've tried to quit before. I've tried to quit doing that before. He said, but I just keep doing it again. I said, when you do it again, you know what you need to do? He said, what? Tell me. I said, quit again. They some help you in that right there if you'll listen. Yeah. Quit again. Yeah. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Yeah. I got a news flash for you. There is nobody in this building, in this room, who has reached the point of sinless perfection. You may be saved, but you're just a sinner saved by grace. You may be on your way to heaven when you die, but you're walking around in a body of flesh. Hey, and sometimes that flesh is going to get the better of you, but it should not be 24/7. Amen. Amen. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many are struggling with something. Quit again. Have you ever prayed and repented something to God? You don't have to answer right here. You don't even have to nod your head. Do you ever prayed and asked God to forgive you something, and while you're praying, you knew you were going to do it again? Yeah. Can I say it again? While you were praying, in your heart, you knew you'd do it again. A couple of reasons for that. Number one, you ain't got enough confidence in Him. Number one, these children of Israel, when He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. Hey, in their heart, they knew what was right. They knew what they wanted to do. But you know what they're afraid of? They done got so deep in this mess over here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They forgot God was the great deliverer.
That's right, brother.
Not only does He deliver sinners, but He delivers saints. He will deliver His children again.
Amen.
Are you listening? David, caught in the act of adultery. David, guilty of murder. Hey, he repented unto God, and God delivered him again. So what are you saying? There is hope for me, and there is hope for you. But we have got to make a decision. I told that young man I was counseling with, I said, brother, I don't want to pump you full of no false hope, but you'll probably mess up again. He told me what he had done and how long, and I said, it'll probably happen again. And I've had hundreds of counseling sessions just like this. I said, but when you do, here's our mentality. I think here was their mentality. What's the use? What's the use? I just can't do it. No, friend, you can't. No, you can't. You can't even begin. You can't even start. I mean, if it's you, you're without hope. You have no power over sin. None. None. Especially when it's deep-rooted. And it's entangled and snared. You have no power. But I do believe the Bible still says in the book of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
We've got to realize it's not me, it's Him. Amen. But we've got to make the decision to let Him.
Yes,
we have to.
Amen.
We have to. Amen. We have to. We've got to battle it for our children.
Yes, yes.
We've got to battle it for this next generation. Uh-huh.
Amen,
you know what I was thinking last night? I was thinking last night in the youth rally. And I was watching, it seems like we've got two distinctive age groups, Brother Freddie. We've got our teenagers. But then there's this group, Jeremiah and Micaiah and Aaron, all them little guys, their ages. You just wait and see what's coming. If we'll keep it right for them till then. If we won't drop the ball between now and then. I'm not saying our kids are bad now. But I'm just saying, you see what's coming. We got some kids coming up, boy, who want to serve God. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to make these decisions not just for ourselves, but for them. Amen. First of all, there is a decision to be made. There is a decision to be made. But then we have to have the right approach. We've got to have the right approach. Those prophets of Baal in verse number 26, look here. Watch them now. The Bible said, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure asleep and must be awake. Y'all get mad when we preach against these false preachers. That's what Elijah's doing. The Bible said, and they cried aloud and cut themselves. But that's demonic right there. The Bible said this was after their manner, with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Let me just stop right there. Remember, I need to pick up at verse 29. When they were cutting themselves, you know what that was? That's a sign of demonic activity. You know what one of the big things in America is today with teenagers? They call it cutting. Kids, girls especially, roll up their sleeves and start just thinly slicing their wrist. The Lord wouldn't tell you to do that. Amen. The Lord wouldn't tell you to do that. The Lord wouldn't tell you to destroy your body. That's a devil, friend. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. It came to pass in verse 29, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. They did all they knew to do. Have you ever done everything you know to do? Come on, talk to me now. Have you ever done everything? I've done everything in my power. You're going to get the same result. You're going to get the same result if that's our approach. We're going to go to Bible college, and we're going to learn how to organize a service, and we're going to learn how to run the business end of the ministry, and we're going to learn this, and we're going to learn. And if that's all we've ever got, we're not going to see the fire of God fall. Those idiots that run the Southern Baptist Convention. I stayed with a family whose daughter, Brother Kent knows who they are, whose daughter and her husband are going to be Southern Baptist missionaries. They want to go to the mission field, but they've got to have a degree. Now, I'm not kicking them. I'm just saying it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. People are dying and going to hell, but you've got to have a degree. Well, you tell them old farmers back in 1800 who couldn't even read or write, man, but they got hold of the power of God, and they got hold of the Word of God, and they preached and thousands got saved. What do you say about old Peter, who was nothing more than a fisherman, son? I'm talking about a laborer. That's all he was. And on the day of Pentecost, he stood in cloven tongues of fire, sat down on his head, and 3,000 got saved. We don't need education. Nothing wrong with it. But what we need is God. Amen. We've got to have the right approach. We've got to have the right approach. You know what this world is doing? And it's just come out here recently, so I hear this purpose-driven stuff. I'll make somebody mad for this morning's out, I know. It's nothing more than motivational speaking. What's that guy's name who travels the country? He's got all them big teeth, big tall guy. Tim Robbins. And that's what it is. He could call that a ministry. Boy, it got quiet in here. It got quiet in here. That's all it is, friend. That's our approach. Praise and worship. Make us feel good. Tell us how wonderful we are. No, tell us how wicked we are. Tell us how wrong we are. Tell us how to do it. Tell us how to get right. Tell us how to stay right. Tell us how to keep our children out of jail. Tell us how to keep our daughters from being pregnant. Tell us how to stay off of drugs. Tell us, tell us, tell us. We must have the right approach. What that crowd is realizing now is their method is flawed. They're drawing some of the biggest crowds in America. They're not keeping them. They're all about ATM machines in the lobby. They're all about when you join their membership, they request your W-2 forms. I know what I'm talking about. What does that tell me? It is about M-O-N-E-Y. They don't care if you die and go to hell. If they did, they'd tell you. They want the Rolex, friend. Amen. They want the Beamer and the Mercedes. They don't care. They sure don't want to make you mad and quit getting your money. By the way, if you are a child of God, preaching should never make you mad. Never. You say, well, somebody said something I disagree with. Whoopee-doo. Eat the fish, spit out the bones, friend, you'll be all right. Yeah. We got Christians sitting in church going, big old baby, sissy. Are you that sensitive? We got to have the right approach. The Bible still says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. We've got to have the right approach. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm not picking on him at all. And he knows it. Brother Freddie preaches hard. Yeah. They all agreed. Does it wear you out? Sure, it ought to. Yeah. Amen. It ought to, but it ought not to make you mad. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We ought to be saying, oh, ow, kind of like going to the dentist. Amen. It hurts. But boy, when they get that junk took care of, it feels so much better. Amen. You get that old sore tooth fixed, you can sleep at night. Don't you get mad at these men around here preaching to you. You ought to thank God. Amen. We all right this morning? We've got to have the right approach. This world is doing that which seemeth right in their own eyes. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with this, Brother Eddie. That's the problem. We don't see. When we need to get to God and say, God, what do you think about it? God, what do you think? What do you think about all these perverts? You see, we got them like that today. We got them just like that today. I'm a pervert. I want to have 7 or 8 wives, so I'm going to join this religion. I want me a harem. I want to sleep with a different woman every night. So that's the religion for me. Why don't we stop and ask God what He thinks about it? One woman for one man for life. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? If you're divorced and remarried, God bless your heart. Make the best of it and pray God will bless your home. If you're still married to your first wife or your first husband, pray God will prosper that thing and you'll fulfill God's purpose for your life. Well, you're saying, we've got to make a decision, people. We've got to have the right approach. I want you to look down here. I want you to look down here at old Elijah, verse number 36. The Bible said, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, here it is, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. We want the fire to burn. We got to do what he said do. He said, I have done all these things at thy word. Here's what he said. I did what you said. I don't think we can obligate God, but I think God was obligated. Yes, you did, Elijah. So I feel obligated to answer this prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I did what you said to do at thy word. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know. See, Elijah's got his mind made up. Elijah don't need convincing. Elijah's not saying, prove to me who you are. I know who you are. I know your power. I know your might. But God, do it for them. I believe why he's praying, he's backing up from that sacrifice. Brother, he knows what's coming, son. The fire's fixed to fall, and it ain't going to be no little big lighter waving in the wind. No, sir. He knows the fire's coming. Amen. He said, hear me. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the ditch. Good night.
Amen.
The right approach.
Hallelujah.
The right approach. There must be a decision. There must be a right approach. Listen, going to Sunday school class is wonderful. It'll help you. It'll help you. All these things that we do will help you. But we've got to have the right approach ourselves personally to God. It's not enough to sit and go, that's right. That's right. That's right. I can do that with a bottle of Advil sitting on the counter when I got a headache. That stuff will help your headache. That's right. Yeah, it sure will. Boy, my head's hurting. Somebody said, that Advil will help you. I know it will. Katie does this all the time. Oh, Daddy, my head's killing me. Have you taken anything? No. The symptoms are showing. Maybe it's time to take the medicine. Maybe it's time we make that approach to God. Thirdly, I notice when the fire fell, it immediately began to do one thing. Consume. We struggle with this, we struggle with that. We need the fire of God to come, and he can consume it. Did you know he can consume bitterness in one trip to the altar? He can consume malice. He can consume jealousy. He can consume wrath. He can consume all these things that are keeping us from God this morning. He can burn it out of your heart this morning if the fire of God falls. Are you listening? Watch this next verse, and I'm done. Verse number 39. And when all the people, say that next two words with me, saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. When all the people saw it, it changed their hearts and it changed their minds. Do you know what I think this country is looking for? Whether they want to admit it or not, they're looking for some fire. They're looking for some fire. They're flocking to these places with false doctrine, wrong methods, wrong messages, wrong scriptures. Because there's some excitement. They're tired of the dead, cold, dried up, head nodding, can't stay awake, Baptist church. Nobody enjoys being bored to death. So they'll seek out the false fire. All they're looking for is some fire. All they're looking for is some fire. Joel Osteen's daddy said he left the Southern Baptist Convention because he was tired of the deadness. I understand the reasoning, but the wrong solution. It's easier to go build another than it is to fix what you already have. Villa Rica is looking for a fire. People used to come up to me and say, man, this is what they'd say. I hear it's going on down there at Happy Valley. They'd say that all the time. One preacher over in Alabama told me, he said, man, we might as well close our doors. He said, y'all got the Holy Ghost hemlock down there. Y'all got him in a headlock. It was scattered abroad. Man, when you get a fire burning, people will say, that's what I want. That's what I need. That's what will save my home. That's what will save my marriage. That's what will keep my kids out of hell. That's what I need. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, could y'all come? Maybe could y'all sing Send the Fire, Send the Rain? Could y'all do that? Let's mind the Lord this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
Ain't nobody looking around this morning. I wonder, I know it wasn't a salvation message this morning. But if I wonder if there may be one here this morning, not sure if you died today, heaven would be your home. I wouldn't embarrass you. Wouldn't come to you for nothing. But I wonder if there's not one that would say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could really know that heaven would be my home, I'd sure like to get that settled in my heart. Would you pray for me? You can just slip up your hand and put it right back down. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Brother Eddie, I'm not sure I'm saved. Please remember me. Anybody like that this morning? How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. But pray for me that the fire of God would burn in my heart again. Pray for me. Oh, hands all over. Pray God would give me some victory in my life. All these things that I'm struggling with and having such a battle. Pray God would help me. Get me to the place again where I can shout the victory. Thank you for being honest this morning. Fathers, we come to you this morning again in Jesus' name. We thank you, oh God, for a good day. We thank you, Lord, for our people. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised here today. And you know every heart, Father. You know exactly what needs to be done in this altar call. Lord, I pray that you would deal with us accordingly. Help us today, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.